Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight, returning, is photographer, artist, teacher, activist, Archie LaSalle. And tonight, we're going to talk about his photography. Archie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. It's a pleasure to be back.
Now, a couple of times throughout the show, I want you to give out your website address so the people who are listening can tune in to and see examples of your photography.
Okay, for sure.
So do it now.
Okay. It's Archie, A-R-C-H-Y, LaSalle, LaSalle.com. That is the website. You can also see some of the work on LinkedIn. I post daily on LinkedIn, so you can see a series of work for the past 90 days or so.
That's interesting that you do that. So in other words, you keep an audience sort of up to date on what you're shooting.
What I'm shooting and also what I've shot in the past. I mean, I've done several projects in and around the Boston area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll talk about that. But I'm curious about this. Do you do this, like you've chosen the photographs. You don't just put everything up there and let people talk about it before you're ready to sort of edit and sort of crop it or whatever.
Oh, I never crop. I've never
cropped. Okay. This is something I want to know. I want to know about. See, as a point of philosophy, you don't crop. Why?
Well, if you have to crop it, it's not the photograph that you saw that you wanted to see. To me, the edges is really the most important part of a photograph. And when you think about it, Mark, if you didn't have the edges, you wouldn't have a photograph. It's the edges that makes the photograph, not what's in the center of the frame. That's my philosophy. Now, some people crop. They don't have a problem with it. But that's why you see a black line around all of my photos. I use an Hasselblad X-Pan, and before that I was using a White Lux, which was about 140 degrees sweep. The lens would rotate.
And you can see that in some of your photographs, that it has that sort of panoramic texture to it.
Right. Most people call them panoramic cameras. I don't.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way that I see the world and how I want my image to reflect what I see, you know.
So are you shooting a traditional camera? You're not shooting digital, or are you shooting digital?
No, this is film. I'm still shooting film.
Okay. I love this because I know a few other photographers who still have not gone to the dark side and shot digital. Is this an important thing for you? To keep photography with film so that you can actually develop it yourself?
For me, it is. I mean, because I love that process. You have to be married to the process, for instance.
I had a photography friend that taught me how to develop. Now, I'm not a photographer by any means, but that process for me was magical. The thing where you put it in and the picture appears. I'm sorry. I know. I sound very like, whoa. But, I mean, that's an amazing process.
I'm still that way. I still feel that, whether it's the film, whether it's a print, just seeing the process. I understand it completely, the science of it.
Yep.
I'm still like, it's the first time whenever, even with a test strip, because I'm looking for tonality. It's that whole Zen piece about photography. If there's a line, you never want to get to the end of the line. You just want to keep getting closer and closer and closer and closer, but never really going over the line. So that's how
Wow. Plus the fact, the things that you can do about darkening areas or lightening areas is all very hands-on. And the whole process becomes hands-on, and it's not like in digital photography. I mean, I can shoot digital photographs. And I'm saying that as a non-photographer. And I just think that, well, okay, but it's not a photograph.
Before we get too far into this,
yeah,
make a good digital photograph, it's the same amount of time, pretty much, maybe even longer than making an analog photograph. There are no shortcuts. I mean, you may capture the image a little faster and see it. But other than that, I mean, you got to put in the work. You really have to put in the work. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm dissing digital photography.
I'm not saying that. And I know plenty of people who are serious digital photographers.
Yes.
But I also know several people who are very... they call themselves... Now, and sometimes they do come off like digital photography. A monkey could do it. But there is something, if you've done the process, you know what the person is talking about. It is a special process.
Yes.
You're in the dark room. The image is appearing. It's alchemical. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just pulled out a book from a good friend of mine, Nick, and it's on the zone system, how to process using the old zone system. You know, and it's an amazing process once you learn it and understand it. You know, it's just absolutely beautiful.
It is beautiful. Archie, every artist I talk to, I want to go back to the beginning. Even back into your childhood, were you a person who was a child who was like using a camera all the time? When was the first time you picked up a camera and you knew you were a photographer?
Well, I wanted to send you a picture, but I didn't.
Okay.
It's a picture when I was 5 years old.
That you took?
Yeah, that I took when I was five.
Oh, wow.
And I tell the story a lot. It was a very, very special day. It was a day I'm sitting on my bicycle. I'm going to send it to you.
Please do.
And it was in 1953. I'm sitting on my bicycle, and my uncle had a Polaroid lens camera.
Oh, wow.
And so...
One of the old models.
One of the old models, yes. Well, you had to rub the sort of a solution over the top to fix it so it wouldn't damage the image. And so I'm sitting on my bicycle. He had a long cable release.
Oh, wow.
And he put it underneath my foot. And two things happened that day. I took the very first photograph I ever took, and I got my training wheels off of my bicycle. That was freedom.
Oh, wow.
Total freedom. I could go anywhere I wanted, and I can take photographs. So that's how I got started at 5 years old, 1953, in Mobile, Alabama, a place that I would tell nobody to go to.
Was your first camera that Polaroid?
It wasn't mine. It was my uncle's camera, but he would let me use it occasionally.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Was he a photographer?
Well, he didn't call himself a photographer, but he had three huge albums. Not only did he photograph lots of family and family events, but he photographed the town of Springfield, Massachusetts, where he lived.
Oh, nice.
And landscape, architecture, whatever interests him, that's what he photographed, you know.
Was he the big artistic influence on you as a kid?
Him and one of my my seventh grade art teacher, Hubert Baker. I think they were the largest influence on me at an early age, those two people. Yes, absolutely.
Now, a lot of artists try a lot of different things before they settle into what their art, particular art, is to them. Did that happen to you, or did you just follow photography straight on through?
Well, I didn't. So that was a 4th of July party, which I'm not a big fan of the 4th of July.
Okay.
And so my father told me to go out and photograph the event. And so what I was doing was photographing a tree trunk, the grill of like a 58 Chevy or Ford, the big white wall tires.
Wait, how old are you?
Like 9.
Wow.
And so
wait a minute, you've already developed the photographer's eye.
Well, these are the things that interest me.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I'm dyslexic. I think that has something to do with it.
Well, that makes you tend to work visually.
Yes. That's my strong suit.
Yeah.
So I did all of this photography, and when we got the film back, there was no pictures of people. There was not even the grill with hot dogs or hamburgers, which I don't eat. And so I was told never to put my hand on a camera again.
Wow.
And so then I guess I was about 30 years old when I went to Mass College of Art, and I'd done a lot of things in between that, racing cars, part of a co-op of a restaurant, working as a director of the Fernald State School Children's Unit, starting a daycare center, lots of things. But it was always with an artistic slant to it. And so I went to Mass College of Art at 30, graduated tops in my class. That was a goal of mine. I had wonderful teachers and saw lots of lectures given by Garden Parks, Len Gentle, Lee Freelander, Lizette Modell, Roy DiCarava, James Van Der Zee, Ansel Adams, and even Richard Avedon. So I studied the history of photography, looked at a lot of photography, and I was always told, if you're going to photograph something well-known, you better put your own spin on it. Make it yours. Don't go out and take the same picture other people have taken. And so that stuck with me as I got older, you know.
That entire time between the time that you were told never to take another photograph, I can just imagine that. And then you went to Mass Art. Were you still shooting? Were you still taking photographs like everybody takes photographs? Or did you just really avoid it? I mean, it sounds like you have an artistic eye from a young age. The fact that you were filming like the grill of a car or the bark of a tree, that's the kind of thing, it's a classic serious photograph. And it's sort of weird that you're doing that.
Well, it was, I did it because this is what I wanted to take pictures of. You know, I wasn't interested. And that's why I photograph very few people today. And especially when it comes to the rich and famous, like who's making the picture? Is it the person's fame or is it the photographer? And so I just sort of pretty much avoid that. And when I do photograph people, I mean, there's a connection there. It's not just run up and take a picture of a person and sort of slide away. No, that's not my approach. I like engaging with my audience.
In part of your artistic statement, you say that form is the context of my work. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So when I look at an image or something that attracts my attention, it's the shapes. It's all about the shapes. And in my mind, I know I'm looking at color, but I read the tonality. Like knowing how it's going to appear on a photographic piece of paper. Like red and green is pretty much in the same hue. Mm-hmm. But if you use filters, that will give you some separation in the tones. So the form, it's all about the form, the line, shape, and the form. And then it's about controlling those edges of the photograph. Now, this stuff is really dry to most people. And a lot of people, they don't necessarily see things like that. But I do, and so I start drawing those mental lines of where I want the edges to be. And so the form of it could be something long and straight, it could be round, it could be oval, but you have to, it's like making a composition or putting together a souffle, what have you. It's like you've got to get it just right. And the beauty of it is, and I use film more as a sketch pad, because I would spend sometimes two rolls, maybe three rolls, on an area just photographing it vertically, horizontally, stepping back, getting closer. But when you see it and you get it exactly right, oh, my God, it is a wonderful thing.
You say on your artist statement that you look for a point of view where strong forms converge. And as soon as I read that, I went back and relooked at your photographs, and I got it. And you also write that moments like this are not found. They have to be sought after. And I just want to see if I understand this correctly. So you're not just going to be walking through a building or through some kind of architectural site, and it's just going to jump out at you, and you go, yeah, that's what I got to photograph. You got to walk around and do stuff. Am I right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And if you want to photograph something vertical, try going up one flight up. I used to carry around a big ladder with me, a 6-foot step ladder.
Oh, my God.
With a 4x5, just sketching also, but mostly with my White Lux back in the day, and photographing the subway system. It's like you want different heights, and that way when you when you're photographing that foreground area, it's not just this long sweeping floor. You've got some depth going down, you got the mid-range, and then you got the background.
Wow.
And then you have it in a vertical. So you really have to put in the shoe leather, as one of my old professors used to say. I enjoy that time, even when I'm not making photographs. And sometimes you may see something and it's not quite together, but you sort of give it a wink and say, ah, I see you. I'll be back later on. But you'll remember those. And that's why I say film is no more than a sketch pad. It's just like a pen and ink to me, you know.
Will different sites, obviously, different places, are going to give you a completely different feel at different times of day due to the lighting. And so Do you revisit places at different times just to see if something else comes out with shadow?
I've done that. I do that quite a bit. And I usually shoot for like 3 months, usually in the summer, and I will process all during the autumn and the winter.
Wow.
But let's say if I, like the last day of school, I'm one of the first people out of the building. I used to leave my school, the last day of school, go straight to the airport, going to Italia, going to France, and I will come back the first day of school. You had to be back the first day of school or else you'll be fired. You wouldn't have a job. I milk every moment, every hour of that, you know, because I just really enjoy it. So just walking around and seeing and looking and visiting and talking with people while you're doing all of this. In fact, when I was in Latvia, I would be out around 4:30. I get up at 4:30, rather, and I hit the street by 5:30, and I'm out walking, looking, and some of the kids would be coming out of the discotheques, and they used to call me the midnight walker because I would be like coming out, and they would be coming out also going home from partying all night, you know. And so I just love that part of the city, that spirit, when the youth is merging and the workers are coming and the youth are going home.
Wow.
All of those things. Even though I didn't photograph that, I was mainly photographing, again, line, shape, and form of architectural structures.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight, it is always a real pleasure to talk to him. Artist, photographer, teacher, and activist, Archie LaSalle. We're talking about his work in this show. When I looked at the portfolio of your work that's online, I was immediately struck by how there's a real deep sense of aesthetics, and I'm not even sure what that word means. But then when I read where strong forms converge, it's a feeling you get when you look at one of your photographs. There's a thing that's happening. It's swinging. It's talking to me, and that's beautiful. That's a rare thing to capture in a photograph.
Well, I tell you, you take the photograph, the vertical one of the London Eye.
Oh, I love that.
So from the foreground to three quarters of the photograph, you see the lines converging. It starts out wide, and then it converges. And then at the top, you get those pods, an abstract piece of the pod going across. And those pods hold about 25 to 30 people in a pod. I say about 20 people, actually. I've never seen one completely fully packed. And then there's another photograph where I'm in the pod, photographing outside, looking outside, photographing the city of London. And so you get two different perspectives, two different views, two different attitudes. And I love both of those images, you know, when you put them together. Another thing that I was just drilled into me in a way, it's like once you make an image and you like it, you need to move on so you can make another image. But one of the things that really, really stuck with me was when you take a photograph and you can remove yourself, divorce yourself from that particular image and still like it. And that's a different type of a feeling for a photograph. Even though you took it, you're wishing like, wow, I really wish I took that photograph because you have removed yourself from it and you're looking at it. And I see that in a lot of other photographer's work as well. And not that you're envious of their work or anything like that. It's paying homage to a beautiful image that was taken and presented really well.
I think that's true of all visual arts, too, that if you are successful at what you do, it exists separate from you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about? It's like it's an image that's captured a moment that exists outside of you.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It just passes through you. And that's a nice thing, because every photograph that you want to take is already out there, or either it will be there when you get ready to take it. So it's not like, oh, my God, I'll never be able to make another wonderful photograph. It's taking time, and really you need to, I don't know what people's religious beliefs and all of that. I'm Jewish, and so I think out of an eye, I have this feeling of gratitude and giving thanks for being put in a position to see something,
yes,
to record it and make it. That's how I view it.
Your work also has a lot of international quality to it, and it's not just the fact that you shot it in different places, and you've been around a lot. There's something about your shots, though, that really remind me of like an Antonioni movie that focuses on architecture.
Yeah.
It's something I can't quite express clearly, but there is that aspect to your photography.
Well,
I will say it's Antonioni-esque.
Well, the thing is, it's like I travel a lot of places, but if you look at the images, you're pretty astute to pick up on that for sure. It's not about the places that I travel, because I don't photograph the more touristy things. But you get a feel that this is somewhere else, and it doesn't have to be something in the East. It could be something maybe from, let's say, I live in Boston, and it could be something on the other side of the Missouri River. You're in a different area. It just feels different. And that's what I really look for. Even though a lot of the work is about the line, shape, and the form, all of the work is actually, but it's the place that you're at. Those things still exist. And so when I see that, I'm just thrilled by it. And in fact, I used to sort of sketch out a lot of shapes and forms and things. And then when I would go out photographing, I would try to look for those and match them. It only happened a few times, you know, because there's only so many shapes and forms. And once you figure out the geometry, and you have a certain vision, it doesn't really matter what your subject matter is. And it's never really been about subject for me. It's really been about the line, shape, and the form of that image and getting those edges straight. And when I was teaching, I would talk to the kids about that so often. And they said, oh, well, I can crop it. I said, no, you can't. So if you took Archie LaSalle's class, you better not crop. I want to see the black line. I say, if you have to crop it, you don't have a photograph at all.
Wow. What a harsh taskmaster.
Oh, yeah. But I don't give grades. I never believed in grades. How do you grade a person's creativity?
That's
you
right. I totally agree.
It's a conversation, you know, it's a conversation. And so that's the most important part. And when you take the grade out of the mix, I mean, that's where the learning and the teaching, and you learn a lot from your students. And with my teaching and the way that I approached it, we were all students and we were all educators. And that, I think, some of the best teachers, they understand that. And it's not this hierarchy. You may have more experience, but that doesn't mean that you know everything.
Absolutely. We're going to run out of time before I've even asked you like half my questions. You did a photo documentation of the MBTA Orange Line Southwest Corridor subway system project. Why did you choose that project?
Well, I was in art school, and here I am, a single dad with an MG and an Irish setter and 1.5 kids, okay? And so I had a lot of responsibility at 30 years old. And being in school, the professor said, well, if you miss more than 3 days, you flunk the class. And I'm the same age as this professor and have lots of experience, the same as he does. And I made the statement. I said, if I said, if I was photographing as long as you have been, I says, I would be better than you. And the reason I said that, I know,
whoa, Archie.
Wait a minute. I know it sounds pretty cocky.
Yes.
This school had a reputation of, this is Mass College of
yeah,
Art.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so this school had a reputation of just, the professor did, of just really putting people down. And I had a lot of other students that was like 20 years old, 25 years old. That was the average age. And I said, I will graduate with honors and tops in this class. This was the second day that I was in art school, okay?
You're the student that every art professor dreads.
Well, to me, it's like I had that passion when I was 5 years old.
And I'm getting that. I'm totally getting that. I would be so afraid of having you as a student. I taught at the Worcester Art Museum. Oh, my God.
No. I'm one of the most humble people there is, but I do not like people being attacked. It really bothers me.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the wrong way to teach art in any form.
It bothers me. So getting back to the...
Archie, we've got 1 minute.
All right. This is going to be quick. Getting back to the MBTA, it started out as a one-month project that lasted for 10 years.
Holy.
I got so involved in this project. I feel like I can go out and build a subway. I know the foundation, and I can destruct one, too, because they tore down the old Orange Line, and I took photographs of that. I took photographs of the new one being built. Oh, boy, that time just flew by. So the website is archielasalle.com, and you can check out some things on LinkedIn.
Oh, you've got to see his photography. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. Archie, I'm going to have you come back because there's so much more I wanted to talk to you about your artist residencies and your experiences abroad especially.
Okay.
And I also want to talk to you about what it takes to teach photography. And that's a whole other conversation. So
yes.
Could I ask you to come back?
Absolutely. I would love to come back.
I love talking to you. My returning guest tonight is artist, photographer, teacher, activist, Archie LaSalle. Please check out his website. Archie, we'll be talking again.
Okay.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.